I don't know how you feel about mountains. I love mountains. I particularly love mountains in Ireland here because they're easy enough to climb in a day or half a day. And there's a great sense of achievement when you get to the top. There's a great view. But there's something about mountains. So there is. I don't know if you find it. There's a solidity to them. There's even a sense of familiarity and solidity that makes you feel secure. Not necessarily when you're standing on top of them in a gale, but when you're in amongst them, you think, this is a solid, safe place. I'm surrounded, I'm guarded. Joe Simpson, who's a mountain climber and an author, in one of his books writes, "There is something about mountains that moves the soul. They arouse a powerful sense of spiritual awareness and a notion of our own transient and fragile mortality and our insignificant place in the universe." It's easy, from reading his books, the man isn't a Christian. In fact, he says as much. But here he is saying that, you know, there's something about mountains. And the song that we're looking at here, the songwriter is someone who looks at the mountains as well. And he says there's something about these mountains. And they do invoke, in a way, as Simpson puts it, a sense of our own fragility, our own tininess, our own insignificance. But there is that sense of security that comes from the mountains, a sense of, I am standing on something that is stable and secure. And even as you come, well, as you're driving back to Donegal, and no matter how much has changed in Donegal since you've been here, or if you've been away for a few years, or you've been away for a few weeks, you know, you come back and you see the mountains, you think, this is home. Other things might have changed. Letterkenny might have grown. You may be back in a particular area and find that there's a lot of new houses built across the landscape, but there's Muckish. Hasn't changed. Hundreds of years. Errigal hasn't changed. There they are. You think, I'm home. I'm home. Well, this songwriter looks at the mountains and sees that sense of security. But where do you get your security from? Or what do you look to for security? We can look to all sorts of things for security. We can look to our health and our strength. We can look to our friends and our family. We can look to our abilities, our finances. We can look in all sorts of areas. Perhaps you think, well, I don't know what I actually look to for security. But whenever life starts to fall apart, where do you run to, or what do you look to get yourself out of it? Do you look to your own wisdom? Do you look to money? Do you look to family? Do you look to friends? Do you look to your own strength? Where do you run to? Well, this psalm is about a security and about a relationship that banishes insecurity. I want to look at it under three headings. We'll look, first of all, at a solid security. A solid security. And we'll spend most of our time here. And then we'll move on to two other points. But a solid security. A solid security is possible in this world. And that's great to know in a world that can be all over the place. I watched a time-lapse film yesterday evening of New York whenever Hurricane Sandy hit. A speeded-up film over the course of several days. And you see the lights going on and going out. You see the storm raging all at high speed. You know, you want something. There's Manhattan. Stable and secure. Well, not really. 9/11 showed us that it could be attacked. Hurricane Sandy showed us that it could be swamped and flooded and brought to a standstill. Solid security. This songwriter doesn't look to anything else for security. But he looks, other than God, but he looks at the mountains around him and he learns a lesson. And he looks at these mountains. You see, Jerusalem sits on a ridge of mountains that runs like a spine from the north to the south of Israel. And there sits Jerusalem. I will say roughly about the middle of that spine. And it sits there. It's not on a terribly high mountain. It's on Mount Zion. It's Mount Zion itself is about the height of Mount Errigal. About 2,500 feet thereabouts. But it's surrounded by a ring of other mountains as well. They're not particularly high either, but they're high enough. They're high enough compared with the surrounding landscape. The Mount of Olives is about another 200 feet higher. And there Jerusalem sits on this great and mighty mountain, and nestled in amongst a ring of mountains. What a secure location. And the songwriter looks at this and he comes to some conclusions. And he says, and you think, well, why does he say this? You imagine some of the people in Israel who live in little villages on the plains, or who live in the border locations where they are attacked by incursions from the Philistines or from the Arameans, or who find themselves just in a constant border zone conflict, where in one week or one month, one year, they're part of one country and the part of Israel. Then they have to up sticks and move because the Philistines have captured that part of the land, and there's insecurity. And here this travelling person from somewhere in one of the outlying villages is coming up to Jerusalem, and they're looking around them saying, wow, imagine living here. You wouldn't have to up sticks and move. Look at the lookout post on the surrounding mountains. Nobody can get to Jerusalem except they'll be spotted for miles away. And he marvels at the security. And he says, well, you know, that's what it's like to be one of God's people. He doesn't say, wow, wouldn't it be great to live in Jerusalem? He says, wow, that's actually what God's people are like. And there's three aspects to it. He speaks, first of all, of a stable security. He says, look at verse 1, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. Those who trust in the Lord are like this mountain. They're not like a reed blown about in the wind. They're not like a palm tree. They're not like some of those trees that you maybe saw in the news in New York that they're being blown over. There's one piece of footage I saw where somebody's filming out their upstairs window and a tree falls across the top of their car. And one guy's going, wow, look at this. And somebody else in the background is going, my car, my car. I'm thinking, you should just be glad to be alive. But they're seeing the instability of this. This is a huge tree. Of all that they thought was stable. This man looks and he says, sees the mountain. And it's, as one writer puts it, calm, effortless immobility. Just sitting there. You know, throughout Scripture, God delights to be described as the rock. Deuteronomy 32, Moses says about him, he is the rock. His words are perfect. His ways are just. David, 2 Samuel 22, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The Lord is my rock in whom I take refuge. Isaiah, you have forgotten God your Savior. You have not remembered the rock, your fortress. And all throughout the Bible, God is described as a rock, stable and immovable. But you see what happened in the psalm here? The songwriter doesn't say, you know, God is like Mount Zion. He says, anyone who trusts in the Lord is like Mount Zion. So not only is it amazing enough to be saying, look, you're as stable as this great mountain. He's saying, you know, there's a stability about the believer. That means they're actually as stable as God himself. Now, I'm sure you've got questions, and we'll come to questions later. But do you see what the songwriter is getting at? He's saying, those who trust in the Lord, there's a stability, an unshakable stability. Nothing shakes God's people. They're not blown about. They're not swayed about. They're not battling in this world to find a place to stand. They're not battling in uncertainty, neither in terms of, it says, both now and forevermore at the end of that section. Not just in terms of heaven. God's people are stable when it comes to heaven, the forevermore bit. They're not wondering, am I in or am I out? Am I? You know, they know, I have a place booked in heaven for me, not because I'm great, but because Jesus is great. There's a stability about that. And it's great having that stability, because stability allows you to do things. You can't do anything if your footing isn't stable. If you're stumbling about or sliding about on a slippy surface, you can't do anything much. You're stable. You can get on. And this is saying that whenever you put your trust in Jesus, a stability comes into your life, because you're not worried about the future. The future is dealt with. It's secure. But there's also stability in life, for not just for heaven, but for facing all sorts of issues and difficulties. There's a solid stability. Our stable security. A stable security. The location of the believer is fixed. They're not wondering, am I in heaven? Am I out of heaven? Am I safe? Am I not safe? It's fixed and secure. Then the next verse goes on to explain a bit more of why. It's a surrounding security. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people, both now and forevermore. It's a surrounding security. Here's why God's people are stable. The songwriter looks at these mountains that encircle Jerusalem. They're not high, but they're high enough. There's anybody who wants to attack Jerusalem has to come over these mountains, and then they're spotted by the lookouts on the mountains and by the people in Jerusalem. The songwriter looks at that and he sees this encircling bodyguard around Jerusalem. And he says, you know, that's what it's like to be one of God's people. You've seen, I'm sure, footage on films of the President of the United States surrounded by his phalanx or circle of bodyguards. Not just one here or one here, but two or three in front, one at each side and two or three behind, guarding him from attack from every angle. Well, here the songwriter speaks of God. In Psalm 121, he had spoken of God being at his right-hand side, like a right-hand man, carrying a shield to shelter and protect him. Now he says it's better than that. The Lord is right round like the mountains encircling Jerusalem. Nothing can come from any angle to any of God's people. What you have here is a glimpse, as it were, at your life, if you're a Christian, through the eyes of God, or through the eyes of the angelic realm, as it were, and you can see what you can't see with these eyes. We can't see God all around us today. We can't see it, but we get a glimpse of it in this psalm. It's a bit like in the Old Testament, whenever Elisha the preacher was one of the countries sent in a kidnap force to capture him because he was causing all sorts of trouble for their troops by revealing their locations to the king. But this prophet that knew what was happening, they sent in a task force to kidnap him, and his servants saw them coming, and he, oh dear, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And Elisha stood there, not worried. He said, oh Lord, would you open the eyes of this young man to see what I can see? The young man's eyes were opened and he saw the surrounding troops, yes, but standing beyond them was an army of fiery chariots and angelic horsemen surrounding him, and Elisha standing there going, yeah, I'm not so worried. Because I can see, he could see, as it were, what God was doing, surrounding his people, guarding his people, and nothing could get to Elisha except through the protection of these fiery guards that are there. And God's giving us a little glimpse in this psalm and saying, that wasn't just true for Elisha, that's true for you. You come and put your trust in me, here is surrounding security. One of God's preachers in the Old Testament, Zechariah, God said to him, Jerusalem will be like a city without walls, and I myself will be a wall of fire around it. You know, some of the villages that these people would have lived in will have had wooden palisades, just wooden fences around their village or around their city. Maybe they lived in a big city like Jericho that had its stone walls, but those walls had collapsed. What sort of protection was that? A wooden fence or even a stone wall that could collapse? God says, I'll be your protection. And God's your protection. Nothing gets through except with His express permission for your good. This is security, a surrounding security. It's an eternal security and it's a present security. It's not just future, it's here and now. A God who guards His people. And this is great. This means that if you're a Christian, you don't have to be constantly on your toes, wondering, what do I need to do? Is everything going to be okay? You know, I wonder what's going to happen. No, no, no. Your Heavenly Father says, I've got you covered. I've got you surrounded. Relax. It's okay. Trust me. Trust me. So lovely situation to be in. It's a situation of a father saying to a worried child, "It's okay. I've got it. Trust me." So here's this surrounding security. But then also, as we think about this security, it's a selective security. It's a selective, it's stable, it's surrounding, but it's selective. And you think, ha ha, now, is it that God isn't powerful enough to catch everything? Is that what you mean by selective? Is it that he's not alert enough? Is that what you mean by selective? Does he only pick and choose the people he wants to guard? No, it's not with regard to the circumstances that it's selective. That God lets certain things through because, oh, he's not strong enough or he didn't notice them. It's with regard to the people. Look at verse 1. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. Verse 2. The mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. It's not selective with regard to which of his people he surrounds and to which of his people have a stable security, but it is selective as to which people are guarded and secure. It's not an automatic right for everyone on this planet. It's those who trust in the Lord who are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken. It's those who trust in the Lord that are his people that he surrounds. It's those who trust in the Lord. Not just casually assent to bits of the Bible being true. Not just attend church. Not just believe in God, but who trust in the Lord. Those who trust in the Lord, those who take themselves and they, in rock climbing terms, they lash themselves to the face of the mountain. They're trusting their entire safety to this being, to God. So that they, knowing that he won't be moved, knowing that they can trust him, they're not trusting in their own ability to withstand the storm of life, and the storms of judgment that will come on us for all the wrong that we've done. But they're trusting in God, relying on him. Those who trust in the Lord. Not those who trust in me. Not those who trust in themselves. Those who trust in the Lord. It's selective. Let me speak to you this morning, if you're not yet a Christian, and ask you, where does your security come from? Where does it come from? What have you look to for security? What are you looking to for security? Is it your own ability? Your own strength and health? That's all very well until you get old, or until you have a stroke, until you have a brain hemorrhage and suddenly you can't move. Or perhaps you're trusting your own wisdom and something, you're in an accident and you're brain damaged. And where then? Where's your security lie then? Or your own ability financially? You're trusting in that. These are all straw houses that the storms of life, never mind the storm of God's judgment, will blow away and scatter. You need to put your trust in the Lord. That's like stepping into a cave in a mountainside in a storm. It's not going to move. It's not going to collapse around you. And that's what to trust in God is, to step into his protection and say, I need you to be my rescuer, to be my protection, to be my rock of refuge. I'm coming to you. I need you to forgive me. I need you to shelter me. I need you more than I've ever realized. I'm not so strong. I'm not so secure. Whenever you do that, you hear, as it were, these words spoken by Jesus. Imagine Jesus singing this song to reassure his disciples as they traveled up to Jerusalem. And the storm is going to hit them. Jesus is going to be arrested. He's going to be put on trial. He's going to be executed. And on the way up to Jerusalem, Jesus is singing these words with his disciples. Imagine them thinking over them and remembering, those who trust in the Lord will be like this mountain, will not be shaken. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. Imagine the encouragement that would give them the next time they came and looked at this psalm and said, that's right. That's right. Here we are. Jesus was arrested. We scarpered. Then we were put in trial after he died and rose again. We were arrested and put in trial, but we weren't let down. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. Those who trust in the Lord cannot be shaken. Those who trust in the Lord surrounds them. And they find it to be true. And if you come this morning, you're not yet a Christian, you come and put your trust in Jesus, and you say to him, "Will you please be my rescuer?" Then Jesus speaks these words to you to reassure you that your faith is not wasted. "Those who trust in me," he says, "will be like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so I will surround you, and you will be secure." Perhaps you're here this morning and you aren't a Christian. Let me ask you, where does your security come from? Where do we tend to look to when the crises hit? Is it to our own abilities? To our own bank account? Is it to our own strength and our own wisdom? It shouldn't be. If we do that, we will be shaken. And that's why Christians sometimes aren't stable and aren't secure. It's because they are, instead of realizing that they are surrounded by God's protection, they have surrounded themselves by their own walls that they've built up of their own strength, their own abilities, their own wisdom, their own resources. And then those start to crumble and shake and fall. And we think, "Oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do?" Look at the mountains surrounding not just Donegal, but look at the Lord who is like the mountains surrounding us. Look to him for your security. Look to him and hear what he says. And trust what is true, what is solid, what is unshakable. Hear Jesus speak words to his disciples in John 10. "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." He says, "I've got you in the center of my hand." And he says, "But we're also in the Father's hand." Is it a contradiction? No. It's a picture of the Son holding us and the Father overlaying his hand so that there's a double security for God's people. And yet we live as if we exist, as it were, in the open hand of God, balancing on the tip of his finger that we could fall off either way, as if our life was a precarious thing. God says, no, you're there. We forget that. We forget it. Will you hear it, what the songwriter says here, and realize how stable you are, and realize that as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds you. A stable and a solid security. That's the first point. Now, briefly, two points to close with. First of all, there's temporary travesties. Temporary travesties or temporary trials or temporary troubles, verse 3, is deeply realistic. The songwriter doesn't say as if, "Well, you know, everything will be fine and there'll be no problems for you if you trust in the Lord." He expects them to go, "Hold on a minute now. Babylon captured Jerusalem. The Assyrians threatened Jerusalem. The Romans captured Jerusalem. You know, it doesn't seem so secure." He acknowledges that there are times when there are temporary travesties and temporary trials. Those actually come about when God's people stop trusting in God. When God's people have turned away from God, that's what happened in the history of the people of Israel. But troubles do come. He's not naive. He expects the objection. Evil has been having the upper hand. And the righteous are wavering here. So what does he say? What does he say? How are we to make sense of this? Well, there's two things. First of all, there's a promise to grasp. A promise to grasp. He says, "The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous." There is evil. There is wickedness. There is brokenness. Now, the wickedness in the world can be the stuff that is the complete travesties of justice that perhaps you've had to face. Or there's that sense of, let's widen it a bit to the sense of how life has treated you. You've thought, that's not fair. That travesty of the sense of how life should be. Maybe sickness has come in and difficulty has come in. You think, well, this isn't fair. He Here's the promise that is made. Yes, it happens, but it will not endure. It will not endure. Evil is always temporary. It will not remain, he says. It is not permanent. If it was permanent, it would crush us. But security and stability and safety is permanent. Difficulties are temporary. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous. Triumph is eternal. Evil lasts only as long as God allows. There's the promise to grasp. You're going through difficulties. You seem to feel oppressed. It only will last as long as God permits. Victor Hugo, the author of Les Miserables, writes in that book, he says, even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise. That's true. So what scepters of evil, to use the language of the psalm, have you been struggling against? You find it difficult in the office or in the mart for being a Christian. Find difficulties with those in your family who aren't Christians, who are making life difficult for you, whether it's husbands or partners, whether it's further out relations and their expectations, that sense of being picked on and difficulties arising because of your trust in Jesus and their dislike of your trust in Jesus, whether it's bosses or teachers or peers for our young people, whether it's, well, whatever it could be. Know this, it will not remain. Those who trust will remain. Here's a promise to grasp. Hang in there and wait. It's only temporary. It's only temporary. There are difficulties, but trust in the Lord. Trust in Him. The wicked will have their day, yes. And suffering will have its day, yes. But only as long as God permits. And only to do you good, as we've seen in the other Psalms, that God allows evil to get through the surrounding protective wall. Only to do us good. It's as if He has removed its venomous poison so that it does His people good. Temporary travesties, a promise to grasp, and also in the last part of verse 3, a problem to avoid. A problem to avoid. Look at what verse 3 says. For the righteous might use their hands to do evil. You ever want to respond? You ever want to say, why should I put up with this any longer? I don't have to take this from you. I've got rights too, you know. You ever want to just try and solve the problem your way in your time? Well, sometimes there is a right time and a right way to stand up for ourselves. But very often we come at it the wrong way at the wrong time. And we take on the tactics of the people that have been against us. And we react their way to deal with them. And God says, no. I will keep things temporary so that you don't take on their way of dealing with it. That's a challenge to us. So that we don't lash out at people, having let things fester in our hearts and minds, honed our words on the whetstone of our imagination. I'll tell them what I think of them. I'll give them what form we practice it and we sharpen it and then we let fly with it. No. Or we respond the way they respond, perhaps with silent treatment, with one-upmanship, making things hard for them because they made things hard for us. Absolutely not. That's not how we're to respond. But you see the comfort here. God is saying, I promise you it will not last, so that you don't respond like that. He knows the limits of our patience, our abilities. He says, trust me. Hang in there, obey me. Live my way. It will not last. Before we move on just to our closing point, I want to address those of you who aren't yet Christians so you can see here that it's those who trust in God that last. And those who don't put their trust in God don't last. Do you see what it's saying? You may seem to be getting on fine without God now. Or you may realize that your life has been shaken enough, you realize, no, I do need God. Let this encourage you to take hold of him. But if you're thinking, well, I'm getting along fine without him, that's only temporary. The scepter of the wicked, the success of the wicked, isn't up for debate here. That's acknowledged by God and by the psalm. He says, that's well, letting them have their day. That day will finish. That day will finish when I say so. It's not a great place to be successful without God. It's a deadly place to be. Finally then, what do you do? If you've got a stable security and you've got temporary travesties, how do you live? Well, the third thing briefly then is prayerful patience. Prayerful patience. That's what he finishes off the song with. And he prays. And there's three aspects to his prayer. He says, do good, O Lord, to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. Saying, Lord, will you do good to your people? That's who the good are and the upright in heart are. It's not that if you're good you get to heaven, but if you're going to heaven, you will do good. You will be upright in heart. And he says, Lord, will you do good to your people in the midst of the difficulties and the travesties and the injustice and the suffering? Lord, will you do good to them so they can keep trusting you? Will you do good? Will you pour out good into their lives? That's a great thing to pray. If you're nasty, Lord, do good. Do good to me. Do good to those people who are struggling in our fellowship. Do good. He stays alert as well because he says, those who turn to wicked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. He realizes that there's the danger that he could react or anybody else could react in wrong ways. There's a danger that people could turn to Jesus and then, you know, as it were, start to trust him and then think, to pop with this. I'm out of here. I'm going to take matters into my own. I can't cope with this. I'm fed up waiting in God's time. And he says, no, don't do that. You'll be banished along with the evildoers. Or perhaps he's imagining a scenario where somebody says, oh, well, I am a Christian. I became a Christian many years ago. But then they live their lives according to the ways and means of the wicked. They have lived among them and they pick up on their habits and their traits and they say, well, I'll just live like them. My Christianity is a good insurance policy, done and dusted over there. And they live not like a Christian, but they live in the ways and means of the people around them, acting and reacting the way they do. Songwriter says, You don't get any security. You don't go away from this sermon and this psalm thinking, oh, I'm secure, the Lord surrounds me. He says, no. You're not walking in his ways. Don't you think you're secure? There is no security promised to those who aren't walking in his ways. There's only a threat that they'll be banished along with the evildoers. And then the last line, wait patiently. Don't be complacent. Cry out for good and wait patiently. Peace be upon Israel. One writer sums it up like this. A colloquial but accurate translation would be relax. Relax. Not quite as colloquial as chill out. That's just a bit too flippant. But relax. Relax into the care of the God who makes his promises. Peace be upon Israel. Relax. Trust him. Trust him. Trust his promises. Trust his keeping and trust his security. You're looking for security? Perhaps life has hurt you and it's caused all sorts of issues for you. Here's a promise of security. If you're not yet a Christian, come to that security. Come to Jesus and say, will you forgive me and bring me into your safe and secure care? If you are a Christian, nestle in this care. Trust him. Trust him in his security. For those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your glorious care. Thank you for the richness and the stability and the completeness of your protection. Thank you, Lord God, for the promise that although there is brokenness in this world, although there's wickedness, although there's evil, that it's only temporary. And help us to wait patiently on your timing and help us to live righteously in your world, trusting you to do things well. Thank you for your protection for your people, Lord. I pray for your people here today who are experiencing difficulties. I pray that you would strengthen them, that they would grasp that you are surrounding them and that they cannot be shaken, because those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.